This is Brayden and Tally Waller with the voice of my beloved podcast. It's snowing out right now.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. And yesterday it was like 70 degrees out. It was beautiful yesterday. It's still beautiful. It's just snowing today. So we're bundled up here in the offices. And we're going to share some more with you this week. Last week we talked about fasting. And guess what we're going to talk about this week?
We got so excited. We just couldn't help it.
We just can't stop. It's so exciting.
There's so much that the Word of God has to say about it.
Yeah. No, it's such a great title. I was talking to Brayden though. Like, you know, I know that for most of us normal people out there, like this is not like a super, this is hard on our flesh. The whole subject of fasting and, you know, but this is a big piece to this whole picture here, and we need to get a hold of it. We need to somehow figure out how to be excited about fasting, because this is part of the preparation, part of getting ready for the bridegroom. This is how we're mourning and stuff. And so,
Being encouraged in it is important.
Yeah.
You know, even the word encourage, if you look at the breakdown of that word, it's to put in courage. You know, mm-hmm. So to do something that our flesh doesn't like to do.
Yeah.
We need courage to do those things. And right. So fasting is one of those. It's like, oh, we just need a little bit of encouragement. Just put a little encouragement, put a little courage in our spirits to be able to,
That's good, to do it. I know I need it.
Well, you're a nursing mother and a lot of times with child.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a different story.
You know? Yeah. No, it is. It's good. I am excited about it. And, you know, I think of the, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, talking about the wilderness journey, and, you know, the wilderness journey isn't something that when we think of, we don't naturally get excited about that whole thing either. But like, but when we understand the depth to it and God's heart in it, like Brayden said, I think we're able to take courage and embrace it. And that's what we need to do, is be embracing all that God has for us in each season and each part of life. And thankfully, he hasn't called us to a lifetime of just fully, like, fasting isn't the end of it. Like, right. We got parties in there. We got Sukkot joy. We've got all, every season he's set aside. And so this is a piece that we need to embrace just as much as we embrace the joy of Sukkot and the idea of the wedding, the feast that we're getting ready for. So here we go.
Yeah. So I just wanted to open up this time with talking a little bit about my journey with fasting. It began a little bit on shaky ground. I was, you know, as most of us, we seek God when we're in need, you know, and I was about 11, 12 years old, and I had some real struggles. I knew that I was tormented by fear in some ways. And I knew that, okay, if I've got a spiritual problem, I need a spiritual solution. So I knew that fasting, I just somehow knew that fasting could help me, you know, that if I fasted, that would, you know, help me to get free of some of these issues that I was struggling with. So I can remember feeling this burden to fast, but I didn't know how to tell my mom and dad that I wanted to fast, because, you know, 11 years old, it's like, who fasted 11 years old? I just didn't know how to do it. So I can remember sitting down at the breakfast meal and just resolved I was going to fast. But so I just put a mouthful of food in, you know, get a whole mouthful of food, and then say, you know, I'm going to go out and check the temperature outside. They had a little temperature gauge right outside the door. So I would go outside and just spit all the food on the ground. And then I'd go back in and get another mouthful of food. I just looked totally like I was eating. I said, I'm going to go check the temperature again. Go back out, spit it all out again.
And, I love these stories. It's great.
And, but I was determined I was going to fast, even though I was ashamed to say I wanted to fast. But the rest of the day was pretty awkward. The rest of the day too.
These kind of stories really make me appreciate my in-laws.
So it was just a funny thing. It's just a funny memory for me, feeling this burden to fast, but not really knowing how to go about it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. But, you know, Yeshua, he says in Matthew 6, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He doesn't, like, you know, it's funny. I remember hearing this guy in Sunday school class. He was saying, you know, it was only the God of the Old Testament that had his people fast. The God of the New Testament, you know, Jesus, he doesn't have his people fast, because that's a cruel thing. Kind of, that was what he was getting at. And really, to have that perspective, you have to ignore the New Testament, because Yeshua himself, he says, you know, when you fast. He's implying that this is something you're going to do. And when you do it, don't do it, you know, for the glory of men. do it before your Heavenly Father. And so just, yeah, pointing that out. He didn't say if you fast, you know, if at some point you fast, then make sure you do it right. He says when you fast, implying that, yeah, you're going to do it sometime. And so I also like this story. Speaking of stories about fasting, Derek Prince, some of you may have heard of, he was at a Bible study group, men's Bible study group, and they were serving donuts that morning. And before they ate these donuts, there was this guy that stood up and prayed for the meal. And in this prayer, he actually was rebuking the devil. He was actually rebuking all the calories that were in the donuts. He's like, I rebuke you. I take authority over all you calories in the name of Jesus. And I just, you know, you're not going to have any power over us. And so after this guy prays, Derek Prince, he gets up and says, brother, that kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. So, you know, there's the demons of calories, you know, only come out by prayer and fasting. So fasting is also healthy. You know, we didn't touch on this last time much, but, you know, a weekly fast is actually very healthy for your body. And, you know, it gives your body a break. It, you know, it allows all of your internal organs just a break. You know, sometimes we have, diseases and things because our bodies are so overtaxed with digesting food. But by taking a weekly break from eating, then you're actually, you know, allowing your body to cleanse and to, you know, it's a really good restart mm-hmm. for your body. Mm-hmm. So there's that element of it as well, you know, just of the health aspect of it. I want to touch a little bit before I get into, you know, the main bulk of what I want to share today. The idea of a 40-day fast, and this is something you see in the scripture. You see three men that did these fasts. It was Moses, Elijah, and Yeshua. Each one of these guys did 40-day fast, and these fasts, you notice, are a time of transition. You know, Moses, he's receiving the Bible, you know, the Torah, and this is a time where he's fasting 40 days. He's receiving this divine instruction that has, you know, carried on for thousands of years, the power of this. And so this is a period of transition in humanity, really, of receiving mm-hmm. the Bible. And so then we have Elijah. This is also a season of transition. When he fasts, we see an authority over the god Baal, right? We see kind of a crippling of the demonic activity that was going on with Jezebel. And we see Elijah really coming in, and in the power of God, you know, the fire of God comes down from heaven. This is a powerful thing that's associated with Elijah's ministry. We see this 40-day fast and Elijah really having authority over the enemy. And then, of course, with Yeshua, we see he fasts for 40 days, and then it says that he leaves that fast in the power of the Spirit. He comes out of it in the power of the Spirit. And so there's something very strong about this idea of a 40-day fast and going into a transition. Now, I know for many, you know, jobs and things, a 40-day fast is impractical. But just, you know, to keep in mind, actually in 1946, 1947, you know, preceding the birth of the nation of Israel, you had thousands of people in America and I think across the world that were doing 40-day fast. And we can just see how there was a point of transition going on. There was this point of the nation of Israel is being born. There were also mass rallies going on in the U.S., particularly in other parts of the world, healing evangelists. They saw amazing miracles, but all this happened in the context of thousands of people crying out to God for a transition, for, you know, in actually doing 40-day fast. If you get a chance to look him up, Bill Bright, he actually called many people to 40-day fast. This has been the 90s. He just had a real burden to see revival in America, and so he would call people to these 40-day fast. And so just to put that in your spiritual pipe and to smoke on, you know, a little bit, just to realize that the 40-day fast is something to do about transition. It's something that it kind of ushers in a season of transition, and we see this historically. So you know, if God calls you to that, if you're out there and this is something that God calls you to, then do it prayerfully. You know, it's something very weighty to take on, but it's also something that can really be, you know, it can usher in a transition. It can usher in a new season. Mm-hmm. And so we need that. We need that in this country. We need that overall because apathy is growing and, you know, spiritual zeal is something that is being lost and we need to really press in for that. Mm-hmm. So jumping into the main subject here, I just want to look at these different examples in the scripture. I want to look at 11 different examples. Did you have anything to add at this point, Tally?
Nope, you're good. Keep you're going. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's
all right.
Good.
All right. So 11 examples of receiving from God through prayer and fasting. And so as I mentioned already, Yeshua, he fasted 40 days. What we see at the end of these 40 days is he receives angelic ministry. You know, after he's tempted by the devil these three times, angels come and minister to him. So we see this often with fasting is that angels are engaged. You know, Daniel, the angels come. And we see this with Yeshua. And as I mentioned, he's empowered. He goes out in the power of the Spirit. Now, next one we'll look at it, Esther. So she, along with her maidens and the Jews of Shushan, they did a three-day fast without food or water. We see a fast without food or water. That's very rare. I think Esther is one of the few in the Bible where you actually see that. This is a very extreme case. Most fasts are done with water. But you know, we see with Esther that she was in a very critical need. You know, they needed deliverance from God. And so she calls on them to fast both food and water. And we know the story that God comes in and saves the day for the Jewish people. They're not destroyed. So the God answers this cry with fasting and prayer that Esther and her maidens and the Jews of Shushan engaged in. Next one, look at Daniel. So Daniel here, we see he did a meat and wine fast and other desirable food. So he just fasts tasty things, you know. So this is a fast, with, you know, you hear it called a Daniel fast. He did 21 days. And we see that from this, angels come. He gets encouragement. He has an understanding, a clearer understanding of the end times. He gets prophetic revelation. And so this is something very key too, you know, of getting revelation from God, you know, entering into these fasts like this. Now, this is a key thing that, and you know, can result in that is having a clear understanding of the future, of what God has in store. The next one to look at is Ezra. Ezra called a fast when the people of Israel were returning to the land of Israel. Ezra was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers to protect them on the way. In their need for help, Israel sought God by humbling themselves with fasting and seeking from him the right way for their little ones and their possessions. I love this fast because it's a man that realized that their little ones are in danger. And I believe that's a key thing, especially in our culture right now. Our little ones are in danger. Mm-hmm. There's threats from the outside that want to steal the souls of our children. And I love this idea. Ezra, he's a man that realizes the threat. And so he realizes he needs to seek God for protection for the little ones. And so I just want to encourage any of you fathers, mothers out there, there's a place to fast and pray for our little ones that God would protect them from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And we can see here that they were kept safe. They were able to get to their destination all the way to Jerusalem without incident. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I'm just thinking of a couple of things as you're going through this, but the Daniel fast is a good one for if you are working, like, because Daniel mm-hmm. had a job. He had responsibilities, some very weighty responsibilities on him. And so when he did this fast, he was, it was one that he could do while he was working. Because I think that is a big problem. It's like you said, the 40 days, it really wipes you out. You know, if you're going to be 40 days on water, it's going to take a toll. Your family's going to have to work around that and everything else and stuff. And so, yeah. And then I also just wanted to mention, you know, like this is like God leads us, to do things, and he's got a plan, and it's not, I don't want anyone to go out there and be fasting because Braden told us to fast or something like that. But really seek God on what his desire is for you. What kind of fast is he calling you to? What kind of, I don't know, what kind of guidelines should you put around? What kind of time frame? Because it is a serious thing, and it can take a toll on you physically too. And so it's something to take into consideration what your physical makeup is and the importance of building up to and not just diving into a 10-day fast. But you know,
yeah, you need a physical conditioning at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times our bodies are like addicted to food, and it takes some time for even some levels to even figure out what to do when you cut back on food or cut it out completely and stuff. And so anyways, it's all of these things are, you know, I just don't want people to go crazy out there, you know, because Braden said so, because this isn't about Braden. This is about what God, your relationship with God, your longing for Yeshua. And so seek him as you go forward and as you pursue a plan, like what God, what are you calling me to do? How can I walk this out in my life?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think it's so important to just allow the word of God to minister to you, you know, the truth that you need to hear. And to, you know, the word is, it's powerful. It speaks to us in so many different levels, but yeah, to allow it to minister to you right where you're at. You know, I'm just going through these verses and talking about, you know, basically the results that people experience, like the reward. You know, so I think there's some element there where, you know, we can see, you know, you can read stories about God answering, and it can inspire you to want to, you know, seek God in that way too. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that it's really a formula, mm-hmm. but it is, you know, I remember hearing this story, this guy, he said, you know, so people talk about feeling led too. And so, so like, this guy said, you know, people made a big deal about this, you know, so, well, I'll pray for the sick when I feel led, you know, and people are sometimes looking for a dramatic supernatural leading to do something. And so this guy said, you know what you need to do? You need to go to your local tackle and bait, you know, fish store. You know, people buy their fishing bait and stuff, fishing stuff and all this. He said, just buy a piece of lead, put it in your pocket. And whenever you ask yourself if you feel lead, you stick your hand in your pocket and you can feel the lead. And you say, I feel lead. So there is this element. Yeah, you for sure want to be led by God. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right.
But there's also this element of, you know,
just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Suck it up and do it.
Yeah. And there's this level of, you know, at what extreme are you called to do this? You know, because there have been people that have fasted an extreme fast, 40-day fast, that have really, it's hurt them spiritually. You know, they've gotten away from sound counsel, from, you know, godly leadership. And it's, you know, it's caused them to really get off kilter.
Yeah. Because it can actually set you up for a spiritual pride situation.
Thinking that you're one of the, like, two witnesses, or thinking that you're Elijah back on the scene.
Whereas fasting's supposed to be the total opposite.
Right.
But fasting is supposed to be done in humility and bring you, you should come out more humble, right?
Right. That would be the goal. Purpose.
The purpose.
Yeah. And so at some level you have that where it's like, you know, if you ask Tally, if I ask you, do you feel led to pray? Mm-hmm. You just put your hand in your pocket and say, I feel the lead, right?
Led. Yeah.
Do you feel led to pray daily?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you just stick your hand in the pocket and feel the lead. Right. And fasting is like that in some ways too. You know, you don't really have to ask yourself, do I feel led to fast? I mean, yeah, with these extreme fasts, of course you want to be led of God's Spirit. But in some level, Yeshua, as I mentioned before, he's implying that this is going to be a part of a disciple's walk with him. You know, when you fast, it's like it's almost implied that this is going to be something that, yes, you just stick your hand in your pocket and you say, I feel led.
Yeah,
I feel led to do this, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes there's a little bump to even get into it, I think, you know. And I think a lot of us kind of, we get scared by the bump, you know, like you get headaches the first time you fast and you never want to do it again, or you have
things.
There's things that, but sometimes, you know, and that's the part where we would never try to tell you what to do, but you know, whether you push through it or you, you know, stop. And that's why I love accountability and community and walking with other people through things, so that you're not the only one that's involved in this. And that also helps you. I know for Braden, us getting married, I realized what a big deal it is coming off of fasts. And so that's another big thing, is like, you know, you don't want to destroy your body coming off of a fast either.
Yeah, you build up this great hunger, you know, after even a 3-day fast, let's say, and then you gorge yourself, then you can really mess your stomach up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just having accountability, you know, inviting people into your life to speak into your life to help you in these things is so key.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So taking back up our list, we're at number 4. Now we're going to jump into number 5. This is in Nehemiah. So he fasted when he heard how his fellow Jews in Jerusalem were in great affliction, and that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down. Nehemiah prayed for mercy in the sight of the king. So we know the story. You know, Nehemiah is there in the court of the king as the king's cupbearer, and he's got this sad face, right? And he goes into fasting, you know, asking God, how can I present this request? So we know the story, end of the story. He receives the answered prayer. The king favored Nehemiah's request and sent him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So here we can see, you know, the answer. My purpose in giving you these different examples is that fasting produces results. Mm-hmm. So we can see that over and over again in the scripture. And like we mentioned the first podcast we did about this, the results are not the primary reason we do it. Except for the result of growing in love for God. Mm-hmm. That's the, a tenderized heart before God, of growing in intimacy with Him. Mm-hmm. So that's the primary result that we're going for, is just having that heart of longing for the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. But these examples here are sometimes what you call the secondary results, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's like these are actually, they fasted and prayed, and they received protection from God. Mm-hmm. They fasted and prayed, they received angelic ministry. Mm-hmm. These are things that, is an encouragement to us that when we fast, there's something that shifts spiritually, and we do it in the right way. There's mm-hmm. something that shifts and postures ourselves to receive spiritual encouragement, spiritual renewal. Mm-hmm. So moving along, we have Jehoshaphat. He called a fast when the people of Ammon and Moab, along with the others, came to battle against Judah. So we know the story. It's a miraculous story, right? They're going out to battle. They send the people worshiping ahead of the army, and they get a mighty victory. The people of Judah received a mighty victory over their enemies. And so this is another example of getting victory over the enemy through fasting. Another example, number 7 here, Ahab fasted when he heard the words of God's judgment that Elijah spoke to him. So Elijah comes and says, hey, judgment's coming. You're about to really get it.
Who?
Ahab, one of the worst kings, right?
Yep.
And so he even fasted. He received mercy. Amazing. To show the extent of God's mercy.
Yep.
He even has mercy on Ahab when he fasted, and the judgment didn't come on him. It ended up coming on his descendants. So, mm-hmm. It still ended up, God's justice still ended up coming, but Ahab was able to escape a little bit of that with fasting. Mm-hmm. Number 8, we have the city of Nineveh fasted from food and water. It's another example of that. When Jonah prophesied his destruction. So it's something that, you wonder, these people of Nineveh, they were a very barbaric culture. It makes you wonder how they knew that fasting, maybe Jonah brought it up. I mean, we don't see that in the book of Jonah, I don't mm-hmm. believe, but it's almost like they just knew that.
I think it was a part of pagan stuff, though.
They would even fast and pray, trying to appease their gods, maybe. Who knows? But it is almost like, seems like something in the back of a human being's mind, that when a disaster happens, that, okay, we've got to fast and pray. We've got to, seek divine help. And mm-hmm. This is what the people of Nineveh did. They fast and pray, and we know the story. The judgment was averted. Mm-hmm. They received mercy.
I was just thinking of the story of David, just when you're going through Ahab's thing, because there was a judgment on David's son that he would die, and David fasted, and the son still died. Right. And so, but David still looked to God and said, your judgments are right and true.
Right.
And he had such a good spirit going through that too. Uh-huh. And, it's not like he was like, oh, well, what a waste of time, that right. fasting. Like he still knew, that's what I need to do. I need to fast and pray. And, right. And so anyways, it was just I was just thinking of that while you were going through here.
Yeah, it's good. So moving along, we've got the people of Israel fasted when they went to war with Benjamin because of the evil he had done. So this whole story, Benjamin commits this crime against one of the people of Israel, and they, they're going out fighting against him. Twice they're defeated by Benjamin. Amazing. All the mm-hmm. tribes come together against this one little tribe, mm-hmm. and they're defeated, but then they fast and pray. So the third time they combine fasting with their prayers and were victorious. And so I see a lesson in this. Sometimes, our prayers are powerful. We're called to pray, but sometimes you add fasting into it, and that's the turning point. That's mm-hmm. the point where the enemy loses the upper hand. Mm-hmm. And because in this case, Benjamin was definitely guilty of a serious crime, mm-hmm. and they, there was a real sin there. And so, the people of Israel were actually, in the right in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but yet, they were coming up against this. It was a fierce battle.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because there's a couple examples here of armies fasting, which you would think, that's really a place of humility when you take an army and you tell your big, strong warrior guys, stop eating.
Right.
Right. And it is a way of really humbling yourself and saying, this isn't in my arm of strength. This isn't in our horses and chariots. This is in your strength. And so I think that's a real place of humility.
Yeah, speaking of that, even the Maccabees, there's historical mm-hmm. records of the Maccabees fasting before they would face these massive Greek armies. Mm-hmm. And that was really a point. They realized that it wasn't going to be in their own strength. Right. That they were going to defeat these armies, but yet God, he broke through for them as they fasted and prayed. Mm-hmm. I was always inspired when Judah would say, we're going to, you know, trust in God and, right. you know, and fast and pray. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, we've got Anna. She fasted as a lifestyle. It's interesting with her. It says that she served God with fasting and prayer. You know, and so we see this example in the New Testament of actually serving God with prayer. You know, a lot of times we think of serving God, we think of feeding the poor, reaching out to the homeless, you know, these type of things. And those are definitely ways of serving God. Mm-hmm. But this we see in Anna this model of serving God with prayer. You know, it's actually ministering to God mm-hmm. in the place of prayer and fasting. There's something that ministers to him, that serves him in that place. Mm-hmm. And we see with Anna, she was greatly rewarded. She had lived this life, you know, it says 84 years that she had been living this lifestyle. And she has the honor of seeing Yeshua, mm-hmm. right? And we have reason to believe that looking for the Messiah was one of her prayer points, right? You know, she was longing for the redemption, we know, because mm-hmm. she had experienced a lot of tyrants, you know, mm-hmm. Roman tyrants, and experienced a lot of upheaval in just the political, the social scene. And so, you know, I'm sure she's crying out for redemption. She's crying out for the Messiah, and she actually gets to see him. Mm-hmm. And so I love that whole story of Anna, and she's looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. You know, this is what her heart's desire is, to see God's kingdom come. Mm-hmm. And she's serving him with prayer and fasting. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So moving on, we have number 11, leaders in the early church fasted as they ministered to the Lord. And so here again, we see this idea of serving, of ministering God, and fasting is a part of that. It's ministering to God. And I love this verse in the Psalms. It says, he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And, you know, as you set yourself in that place of ministering to God with thanksgiving, ministering to him with praise, then I love this verse, this promise. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. And so, and even John the Baptist, right? He says, you rejoiced for a little while in his light. He was a torch in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And we know that John served God with fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. And so this whole idea of being full of the fire of God and serving him, you know, of being a minister of God, serving him with fasting and prayer, is this place of being made a fire. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. Mm-hmm. And so I just love to think of Anna and these early church leaders, that God is just igniting them with the fire of the Holy Spirit as they're looking upon him, as they're looking to him and praying, just setting their hearts to seek him. And we know in the verse here in Acts 13, 1-3, they received direction from the Holy Spirit. And so this is a powerful thing. It's just, it's a place, the way I understand it is you're posturing yourself in this place of humility to receive from God. God hasn't changed, you know, but it just puts our own hearts in a place to receive from him. And that's what we see in all these different examples, people receiving from God as they're fasting, as they're humbling themselves before God, they're then receiving angelic help. They're mm-hmm. receiving direction from the Holy Spirit. They're receiving help from an army that would want to come against them. Mm-hmm. All these different examples are just giving us this understanding that we need help. And mm-hmm. and as we fast and pray, we're posturing ourselves in this place to say, God, we have nothing aside from you. Mm-hmm. We have no help apart from you. Please break through in your power mm-hmm. and help us. Mm-hmm. And so hope you're encouraged to look into this and to engage in it as the Holy Spirit leads you. And that God would reward you as he did these saints of old, mm-hmm. that he will reward you as you engage in seeking him, ministering to him with mm-hmm. prayer and fasting.
Yes, amen. This is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved bridegroom. He is coming quickly.